We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Big O Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Well, I got to start with an apology. Like the last week and a half since the last Thursday game, I was already ripping this Thursday game saying, man, how can you give us Rams 49ers? And the sick some bitch that I am, I sat there anyways. I was going to watch it. I didn't even have a fantasy player involved in anything. Remember I told you guys yesterday, if you have Todd Gurley or Carlos Hyde or Cooper Kupp or whatever. Although, man, Sammy Watkins blew up yesterday. Robert Woods blew up yesterday. Jared Goff blew up yesterday. Pierre Garçon blew up yesterday. So some people out there were happy if they were able to start some of those fantasy players. But anyway, wow, what an entertaining game. 41-39 with the Rams winning. I watched it all the way to the end and then called it a night. But I was thoroughly entertained, I have to say. A crappy matchup, you would think. But damn, that was fun. I like it. Get some entertaining football. Man. Although some things weren't a surprise, right? By the end of the game, Sammy Watkins was on concussion protocol, which is... That's Sammy Watkins, right? I mean, you saw everything. You saw the definition of Sammy Watkins' career last night. Super talented, can blow the top off the defense, and he's always freaking injured. So he ends up the game on concussion protocol, which it is amazing, right? How we're all so different as human beings, how it affects. A headache will affect one person differently than it'll affect somebody else. There are people that it will completely stall their day. There are people that can just power through it and get through it. It's just one of those deals. There's the guy that can drink eight beers and it doesn't affect him nearly as much. And then there's the guy that drinks two beers and he's completely floored. It's really weird how things, and then there are those guys, man, that can run into walls over and over and over again, and it doesn't affect them. And then there are those guys that it depends on any kind of physical contact, they could end up injured right away because they're fragile. And Sammy Watkins happens to be one of those guys. And I don't mean to make light of this. And it kind of segues. It's a different segue, but we saw yesterday where Aaron Hernandez's wife is now suing the New England Patriots for $20 million because her husband, Aaron Hernandez, had a severe case of CTE. And so apparently the CTE was so bad, it was as bad as a 70-something-year-old man would have. The problem is she's not going to have... She's going to struggle to prove that anyway, because you have no idea where you got the CTE. And in the end, can I be, you know, forgive me. I want to apologize ahead of time before I say this, but I'm going to be cold and cruel and absolutely brutally honest. Okay? You look at Junior Seau. He had CTE. He had a clear case of CTE, but the CTE didn't drive him to go kill people and be fighting with people and things like that. It drove him crazy to the point that he took his own life. just like the I'm forgetting the name of the Kansas City linebacker that committed suicide inside his car. He wasn't a well-known guy. He wasn't a Junior Seau type. So, and not to demean his career, but he wasn't as high profile a player. That's probably why I don't remember his name, to be brutally honest, again, on something like that. Kat's looking it up now, but I forgot the guy's name. You got it there, Kat?
Yovan Belcher?
Yeah, I think that's him. Yes. Yeah, a linebacker, right? I do remember it was a linebacker. Yes. Okay.
In 2012.
Exactly. It was just a few years ago. Yes. And he was right outside, I think right outside the facility or outside a training camp or outside the stadium or something like that. And he shot himself in the car, right? Or something like that?
It was a murder-suicide. He killed his girlfriend and he committed suicide.
Right. And so, to me, you look at that and that's the contrast right there. You look at one guy chose to hurt himself, another guy chose to hurt somebody else. I don't think the CTE drives you to hurt other people. Right, that's what I'm saying, but I don't think it drives you to hurt other people. I think here's where I'm going to be brutally honest. When you're a scumbag, you're a scumbag. And if you're a scumbag that gets CTE, well, then you're going to be a bigger scumbag. And to be quite honest, Aaron Hernandez was a dirtbag his entire life. He was a gangbanger. He was a loser that was constantly in trouble. He was in trouble way before he got drafted. So you're talking about a guy that... I'm not going to give you... See, that's the problem in our society. We like to point fingers at everything else except ourselves. Let's blame everybody else for our problems. Let's blame everybody else for our screw-ups. You can't do that. You can't do that. And for me, Aaron Hernandez, I laugh at a case like this. I do. I'm sorry. I have no sympathy for people like Aaron Hernandez. I don't. And he was a bad dude overall. He was a bad dude that got CTE. Junior Seau was a good dude that got CTE. The linebacker for Kansas City was a bad dude that got CTE. It all depends on who you are as a person. That's it. If you're a bad person and you get CTE, well, then I guess it's going to magnify who you are. It's kind of, sometimes I guess it's like alcohol, right? The guy that's kind of a jerk, he ends up drinking and he becomes extremely obnoxious and maybe even worse, get to the point where he gets arrested. We've been around those people. Sometimes I guess that's the thing that then catapults you to doing other things and taking your rudeness to another level, in other words. So to me, I can't look at Aaron Hernandez and have any sympathy whatsoever for him. And the CTE, you don't know when you got that thing. I'll give you an example. I suffered a grade 2 concussion about 22 years ago, 23 years ago, something like that. It was right before I was going to go to San Francisco to work in San Francisco at a nationally syndicated show. And we were out there a week or two before we were leaving. I was playing in a pickup basketball game. And when this big dude, he was like 6'5". I'm not a small guy either. I'm 6'1". I was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 235, 240 at that time. And so he comes down the lane and I go up to try to block the shot. We both collide, and when we fall to the ground, I fell on my back, actually. Okay, he was such a big dude that he got me off balance, and so when I fell on my back and my head slammed right on the concrete. And when my head slammed on the concrete, you know what happened to my arms? They numbed up for a couple of seconds, and they got into they kind of like retracted for a moment. I didn't feel it. They just retracted for a moment. And I rolled around a little bit, and then my arms got back loose again, and I picked myself back up. Boom, I was, you know, kind of in a haze a little bit, and then I was taken to a doctor. And at that moment, they diagnosed me with a grade 2 concussion. I could have CTE from that moment. I don't know. I have no idea. I hope not. I hope I don't suffer any kind of dementia or anything like that. But when you slam your head on concrete, you know, it's so you have no idea if it happened to you when you were 6 years old, when you were 10, you were 15, you were 17, you were playing a baseball game, you were playing a soccer game, you were playing a football game, you were just whatever, screwing off with your friends, and you hit your head on the parallel bars or on the whatever, you know, any kind of whatever bars that you were playing with when you were a kid, monkey bars, all that stuff that we used to play with as kids, whatever. I mean, how many times do you bang your head when you're a kid? A bunch of times. So you can never tell where you got that CTE. You could have gotten it from Little League. You could have gotten it from high school. You could have gotten in college, in the NFL. Doesn't matter. It could happen to any of us. Doesn't have to be football players because we're all kids. How many times did you bang your head when you were playing around when you were a kid, Kat? Bunch of times, right?
Enough to the point where I would constantly have a bone sprained or anything like that.
Broken. How about you, Laro? You hit your head a couple times while you were playing some kind of sport?
No, I'm safe, man. I take the right precautions. I wear helmets and stuff like that.
So you've never hit your head at all? You've never collided with anybody's heads? You've never... Nothing?
I once tried to jump a fence, and I landed on my head.
Okay, there you go. How about when your parents dropped you?
My parents never dropped me. As they told me.
Okay, they didn't tell you that they dropped
you. But I'm smart, man.
Crowder drops him every day.
Well, yeah. There's no doubt.
Crowder would love to hit me every day.
I don't think Crowder will hit you because he feels sorry for you because he knows that you have CTE already.
No, he says he wants to punch me in the chest.
No, you don't want that.
He wants to break my sternum.
You know that Crowder's in better shape than Malaluga?
That's true.
That's scary is what that is. Not true. That's scary stuff right there. And he's in better shape than Malaluga. Are you kidding me? That's absolutely nuts. Anyway, 567-0560, that's toll-free in Dayton, Broward, and pound 560. If you're driving around with that cell phone in your hand, the plumbers911.com text line, it's 56022. And you can reach out to us also on Twitter, at Big O Show. We got a loaded program for you today, man. We got Dan Leberfeld, my buddy from JetsConfidential.com. He's going to join us at 10:40 to talk a little bit about those stinking Jets, since the Dolphins will be kicking their ass this weekend. Tom DeAngelo from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, I'm sorry, from the Palm Beach Post, I'm sorry, is going to join us. And Tom, it was just at Pat Riley's press conference. So we'll go over some of the things that Pat Riley talked about in that press conference. You know, Pat Riley always leaves a little meat on the bone. He doesn't go in there and just give you, you know, cliches and just vague statements and things like that. You know, he's going to tell you a thing or two that you'll walk away scratching your head, thinking about it, going, really? I never thought of that. Or did he really say that? Or challenging this? Or, you know, you're always going to come away with something with Pat Riley. So we'll talk to Tom DeAngelo about that. Will Carroll, the injury expert, always stops by to join us at 12:20. So we'll have a little fun with him. Andy Behrens, of course, from Yahoo Sports Fantasy Football. It is Friday, so we'll take your fantasy football questions. Also, Juwan James is going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. At 1 o'clock, Juwan James will join us, and then Andy Behrens at 1:20. So we got a loaded 1 o'clock hour for you. We're also going to give away a $50 gift card to Caneswear Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where Miami fans shop. I got to call Brett to see if that turnover chain is there so I can go pick up my turnover chain right after the show. So just in case, if you want to meet me out at Caneswear, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be at Caneswear right around 2:30, 2:20, right after the show ends. We'll be racing over to go get our turnover chain. Got to have that, man. I gotta sport my turnover chain. And we're going to give away a pair of tickets for the Canes and the Toledo Rockets. Remember, if you win them, you must pick them up today by 5:30. After 5:30, they are closed and you lose out. Don't call anybody. Don't try. Don't bother, because you will not be able to get the tickets. You have to be able to pick them up today by 5:30. So whenever we tell you to call in for that, don't call in if you can't win them, okay? Let somebody that can actually go to the game enjoy the game. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with your phone calls, your texts, your tweets right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Oh, yeah. Can you feel it? That Jets defense, that front seven, they're going to feel it on Sunday. They're going to feel the man, the myth, the legend that is Jay Ajayi. They're going to feel the train coming their way. A kid that's ready to pound it on the ground and bring it. Another 100-plus game for Jay, for the Dolphins, and, of course, for the...
Like a battering ram.
Yeah!
Like a battering ram.
Love it.
Like a battering ram. These walls won't turn to dust tonight.
So good. So good. It's a beautiful thing. Monday, we'll have highlights of Jay Ajayi with this, like we did last Monday, which is a beautiful thing.
Well, remember, you have to say that Jay Ajayi won't get 200 yards.
That's right. No shot he gets to it. He did it three times last year. There's no way he does it a fourth time. Okay? There we go. You got your material. No shot he does it a fourth time. Okay? There's no way it happens. He can't do it. I there's no way.
Definitely not against the Jets.
Definitely not against that crappy team. No, not at all. He won't stomp them for 200 plus yards. Hell, I hope he stomps them for 400 yards. It's the Jets, dude. Pound them into oblivion. 49-3. Ralph is in Miami. Ralph, what's up?
What's up, my brother?
Loving life, man.
All right, man. Listen, that Aaron Hernandez thing, dude, if you're a douche, you're a douche.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with what's going on. I had a concussion three times in my life, bro, and I've never once wanted to hurt anybody.
I forgot one. I'm 5 or 6 years old. We're in my yard. We're playing baseball. And I'm the catcher because I'm the smallest guy, so they didn't really want to put me out there. We had a big yard in my house back in the day. And so my buddy swings and misses, okay? When he misses, in the follow-through all the way around, the tip of that bat ends up hitting me right in the center of the forehead, and I ended up getting 6 stitches.
That's the same thing that happened to me in sixth grade. In eighth grade, somebody threw a golf ball in the junior high hallway. It bounced up and down and went hit the top of my head.
There you go.
When I was a little bit older, I got hit in the back of my head by some kids who were trying to jump me. And, dude, like I said, man, if you're a douche, you're a douche. I never wanted to hurt anybody.
Of course.
And I've never had any of those kind of feelings.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Aaron Hernandez is nothing but a dirtbag that is not missed by this world whatsoever. Yeah. In fact, the world is a much better place without Aaron Hernandez. I'm sorry he suffered from CTE, and I'm sorry that others suffer from CTE, but that guy was going to be a bad person no matter what, because that's who he was, and that's his DNA. That's why I brought up the other two linebackers, Seau and the guy from Kansas City. You see the difference between the two. They also both had CTE. One chose not to hurt himself. The other one did.
Yeah. Listen, man, anyway, enough of that nonsense, dude. I'm so glad I didn't listen to you or anybody else, man, and watch that game. It was a fun game to watch.
Well, I didn't listen to myself either. I watched the game. I didn't just watch the game.
It was a pretty good game.
It was an excellent game. I didn't just watch the game. I watched every second of that game from kickoff to the end. And I had no fantasy implications in it whatsoever because I don't have anybody on those two teams.
No dog in that fight either.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was fun, man.
Listen, man, I just turned 50 in August, dude, and I'm telling you what, the older you get, the quicker the years go by, and I'm going to watch every NFL game I can, dude.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because this time of year seems like it just takes forever to get here, and when it gets here, it's over before you know it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Hey, man.
All right, Rafi.
Hold on, dude. One more thing. I cannot wait until Cutler gets, you know, really acclimated and comfortable and just starts going nuts, dude.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he's, and I appreciate the phone call, I don't think he's ever going to let him just go nuts. Maybe he'll get on a roll for a couple moments and a couple drives and put it, but I don't think this is ever going to be an offense that's going to be thrown, or a quarterback that you want throwing 40 or 50 times. So I think he's going to try to control it as much as possible like he did in 2015 with him. So don't put it this way, don't ever think this is going to become the greatest show on turf. And just out of curiosity, because I always think about you have to try to update your references if you can sometimes. What do I go if I don't say greatest show on turf? What am I doing? Because people, I mean, like the two kids across from me, they might have been too young to even experience the greatest show on turf. Right? How old were you? Did you even watch the Rams win the Super Bowl with Kurt Warner? Or you were too young.
No, I did see that one. That was 2003?
A long time ago. I don't remember when it was.
2003, 2004, something like that, because the Bucks won around that time as well.
But yeah, the Bucks are 2002.
Right, okay. So, no, I do remember. Well, actually, that's funny. I do remember watching that specific Super Bowl, yes.
Okay, all right. So then there you go. So at least if she's getting it, then she's young, along with Laro, then if they're getting it, then I'm good. I'm safe. I don't think this offense will ever be that. So don't ever expect that, hey, Jay Cutler's going to be throwing 45 times and spraying it all over the place. They're going to control things with Jay Ajayi. Kenny is on a mobile. What you got for me, Kenny?
Hey, Big O, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I got a couple comments, one with Timmons.
Yes.
And I'm going to make a quick comment before I get into that. I'll tell you who's a real dirtbag piece of garbage is Joey Mixon on the Bengals. You know the story?
Right, yeah. The kid that knocked out the girl and broke her orbital bone. Yes, I know.
Yeah. Did you see the video?
Of course. That was all over the place for the last year. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the Bengals, who, you know, I definitely have a disdain for them for, you know, picking the guy up.
They've taken scumbags for many, many years. So it's not the first time. They've taken plenty of scumbags on that team. That's why the Bengals also – see, the part that they don't understand is that Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man Jones are talented, but they will also get your team in trouble like they did last year. So as many good plays as they make, they're going to do stupid things to hurt your team at the same time. So you go ahead, Bengals, keep drafting knuckleheads because you think knuckleheads are going to put you over the top. No, character people will put you over the top.
Now, on Timmons, I don't think they haven't really come up with the reason.
And they won't.
On Timmons, right, they won't. But I have an idea. Then it's, you know, I wouldn't bet on it, but I know most people, the popular idea is that it's drugs or mental problems or both.
Or what we were just talking about with Aaron Hernandez. It's the first stages of CTE and he's, you know, maybe losing it a little bit. Who knows?
Well, I have another take on it, Big O.
What is
it? I'm thinking maybe, I don't know if there's any proof or any one way that he has a major gambling problem and they're looking for the boys are looking for him or somebody. He owes a lot of money.
But here's the problem, Kenny. This is a guy that's never had a problem ever. So guys that have gambling problems, alcohol issues, whatever it is, it usually runs into their personal life. So we're talking about a guy that has been spotless, dude. We're talking about the perfect leader on your team. And this is the first incident he's ever had in his college and NFL career. So it's hard to imagine that. That's the thing. that if,
but didn't they once say that about Pete Rose before Pete Rose got busted?
No, but remember, we ended up finding, but we ended up finding out that Pete Rose had all kinds of issues after that. That's the thing. You're not finding anything out about Lawrence Timmons. Nothing's coming out. In Pittsburgh they busted him with this. They just didn't report it. Stuff would come out, Kenny. In today's world, it's hard to hide that, man. It's a lot easier to hide it back in Pete Rose's day, but now. No way, man. It's really, really hard. Thank you for the phone call, Kenny. Appreciate it. Here's the thing also that I'd like them to do with CTE. You know, think about this. I just mentioned to you, how many times have you hit your head when you were a kid? I just thought of two incidents. I told you I had a grade 2 concussion, and I told you when I was a kid, I think it was 5 or 6 years old, or I forgot which age it was, I got hit with a bat, center of my head, forehead. I still have, you can see the mark on my forehead from when I was a kid. I probably got a concussion, right? When you get hit by a bat and you're that young, probably got, how do you know I didn't get it then? And it's just been lingering there, and it maybe hasn't come out, but maybe it will later on in my life or whatever. I don't know. My point is, if you're going to do those studies, do the studies with NFL players that have had a full career and never shown any signs and looked healthy as hell and see where they're at. You're only doing it to the guys that have had problems and have donated their brains. Like, I think Zach Thomas is donating his, but obviously Zach has not passed away and he doesn't have any issues. So we won't know until hopefully another 50 years from now, 60 years from now, whenever Zach passes away, then they process all of that. See, I'm giving you like 60 more years, Zach, okay? So if you're listening, I didn't want to say anything. That's rude. So I'm going to give you about 60 more years. So that'll get you to about 100, Zach. I hope that's cool with you. Anyway, so until we find out the players that have never had issues, and on average, how do they look? And here's the next one. How about us? How about regular people? You hit your head against the door, you hit your head, you clashed heads with somebody else, you got hit with a bat, you played football when you were a kid, soccer, whatever it was. We all have some, we all hit our heads a bunch of times. So I want to know how the average person, when they pass away, what level of CTE do they have? Do they have any? Do they have a lot? I don't know. Because before we blame football, okay, because I'm sure it contributes to it because, hell, your head, you collide a lot. So I get it. But we collide a lot, too, throughout our years. And sometimes we hit our heads pretty hard. I'm sure you guys driving around now that I mentioned that, you start to think about it. You go, damn, you know, when I was 15, I thought I fractured my head. I thought I whatever. Maybe you did fracture. Maybe you did crack your skull. Maybe I remember my cousin. He took my 280ZX one night. I think I've told you guys this story. He fell asleep. Okay. No drugs, no alcohol. The moron just fell asleep. Okay. And he went off the side of the median where there was a hill. So the 280ZX rolled down the hill. My 280ZX had T-tops. He went through the T-tops, landed outside the car. The car did not roll on him. First of all, think about it rolling downhill and you going out the T-tops and you didn't get run over by the car, which that in itself is a miracle. You know what he came out with? I think it was like 21 stitches on his skull and he broke his forearm. That's it. My car was totaled, but hey. It is what it is. At least my cousin was good. So, but I did love that car. I really love that car. I think the inline 6 is one of the greatest engines ever made. And I think they stopped making it because it was one of the greatest engines that was ever made and it never breaks down. I always think about that inline 6 that they had in the 280ZX. Just like I always think that Nike had these shoes when I was a kid. I want to say I was like 13, and they were called gum soles, Nike. And I swear to you, those shoes lasted me longer than any pair of shoes I ever had in my life. And in those days, we were playing pickup hoops, I don't know, 3-4 games on the concrete every day. And it lasted me forever. They stopped making those shoes. I doubt anybody can even remember what the hell I'm talking about or experienced it or even thought about it back in those days. They probably bought the shoes and never even thought about it. Best soles I've ever seen in my life. You ever run into a product like that that's really, really good and then all of a sudden it disappears from the market and you're like, well, wait a minute. Why are you making that thing disappear? Because it's too good? Because it's going to last too long and it's going to make us buy less shoes or less cars? Anyway. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with, wait a minute, let me get Willie in New Jersey. He's waiting patiently here. Willie, what's up, man?
Yeah, thanks for taking a call. What's up?
What's happening, baby? What you got for me?
Yo, I just want to give a quick shout-out to all the Dolphin fans that are going to be coming to the MetLife TakeOver. Just real quick, just be smart. You know, don't overindulge in, you know, inebriatic things. And if there are any really stupid Jet fans doing, you know, drunken things, you don't need to engage, you know. It's going to be a great time. I just want everyone to be safe out there because it's going to be a spectacular day. And, you know, I just want to just wish
don't feed into the Jets' misery is what you know what I'm saying? Let them waddle in their beer. I'm with you there. I like it.
Exactly. But, listen, I just want to, you know, it's going to be a great day and, like, I look forward to being with all my Dolphin fans. And go Fins, brother.
You got it, man. You got it. Send out the pictures and the periscopes. We'll retweet them. All right, Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential, next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Little Joan Jett. We're going to talk about the Jets. Nice job by you, Kat. Joan Marie Larkin. You know her as Joan Jett, born on this date back in 1958, the Hall of Famer. And I can add something to your whole thing here. Jet fans at this point right now are saying, I hate myself for loving you. Right? It's basically what it is. And you can follow my man Dan Leberfeld on Twitter at Jet Whispers. And, of course, The website is jetsconfidential.com. Oh, yeah, here we go. A little Joan Jett. And here's the Jet fans. Exactly. Dan, would you say that this is a good theme song for Jet fans?
Not a bad song at this time, and I want to add that I used to live in Long Beach on Long Island, and I saw Joan Jett in the CVS there once.
Nice. Really? How long ago was this?
Long Beach.
How long ago was
this? 10 years ago. About 10 years ago.
Okay. She looked good still?
Well, she looks like she looks, you know, that jet black hair and the, you know, punk rock type look and still going strong.
Yeah, she is, actually. I've seen her a few times over the years. I saw her back in her heyday. She is, I still remember when she came out, you know, with I Love Rock and Roll, and she came out with that video. I was like, who's that, dude? And then I picked up on the whole Runaways thing. Oh, that's Joan Jett. But she looked good in those days, man. She was definitely a hottie. There's no doubt about that. Now the team you're covering, not very hot right now.
No, not hot. When you look at them, everybody thought, or most people thought, the problem was going to be the quarterback position entering the season, but that has not been the issue. Josh McCown has been pretty good, serviceable. The problems are in other areas right now.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think some of the problems started in the offseason, my friend, when they started trading off and getting or cutting out good players and things like that. I think that hurt them when they started trading or cutting players from that roster that were pretty much the heart and soul of that team.
Yeah, that was something that hurt them. But also, they didn't have a very good run defense last year, and that's continued to this year. And one of the problems is, Darren Lee, the second-year linebacker of Ohio State, good player, but not a great fit for their 3-4 defense. As you know, Big O and a lot of people in the audience, 3-4 inside linebackers have to do a lot of stacking and shedding of offensive linemen, and the guy's like 230 pounds. He doesn't have a lot of body armor. So if you look back to the first couple of games, especially Oakland, some of the big runs. This poor kid was pancaked opening up a big hole. So run defense is a big problem. So facing Jay Ajayi this week is not exactly what the doctor ordered for the Jets.
Yeah, I remember the guys in around the league telling me that what they liked about Darren Lee coming out was his pass rushing skills, not his run stuffing skills, right? That's kind of what was the MO.
Right, and the thing is, if Darren Lee was on the Carolina Panthers or the Dallas Cowboys or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, that type of linebacker where you run sideline to sideline and you flow and you make a ton of plays, he'd be very good.
Playing on the outside.
Yeah, that's right. Also, yeah, playing on the outside and running around and rushing the passes some, as you said. But in this defense, the guy is just getting a Velcro to offensive guards and centers pulling to the next level.
Does Todd Bowles survive this? Because that usually doesn't happen when the guy has to, first he signs with the team that was supposed to be competitive and maybe even, you know, challenging for a playoff spot. Like they had, 10 wins a few years back. But then all of a sudden now they're putting you through a rebuilding mode. Man, that's usually a recipe for failure. And I don't know how usually coaches survive that. They usually don't. Does Todd Bowles survive this over the next couple of years?
It's interesting you bring that up because I asked the new owner, Christopher Johnson, who takes over for his brother, who was named ambassador to the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland. So Christopher Johnson takes over, and we met with him for the first time, the beat reporters, the other day. And I asked him, why did you guys decide to start the rebuild in year three of GM Mike Maccagnan and Coach Todd Bowles and not do it from the get-go? And he said, that's a good question, but then he brought up the fact they did okay that first year. They went 10-6. But the point is, it is very strange to have a new regime start a rebuild in year three, and that's essentially what's happening here. The way Todd Bowles survives, and the owner brought this up over and over, and the old owner, Woody Johnson, brought this up, improvement throughout the year with a lot of young players. You know, not making the same mistakes over and over again, getting better as the season goes on, you know, seeing players move up the growth curve. So if they continue to play run defense the way they're playing in week one and week two, they're last in the league in run defense. That sort of thing would certainly hurt Todd's job security. So the owner's not looking for the team to go 12-4. He's just looking for them to play smart, consistent football and improve as the season goes on.
And if I'm correct, that's the same press conference that you guys asked about the tanking, and they sidestepped it. They danced around it.
Yeah, the tanking was asked, and the new owner, Christopher Johnson, categorically shot that down, saying they're not tanking. But he did say that the head coach and the GM will not be judged by wins and losses at the end of the year. So those are kind of conflicting philosophies. If wins and losses aren't the bottom line, but you're not tanking, what exactly are you doing?
Right. No, I'm with you. But again, I mean, do you blame them? Really, when you look at it, Dan, where they're at, you're not really challenging for anything. You don't have a quarterback. We all know how much you need a damn quarterback in this league. Hell, we know it in Miami since Marino retired, how much you need a damn quarterback in this league. And you've got all these young quarterbacks coming out in the next year or two. This might be the time to start rebuilding and winning only a game or two and putting yourself in position to get a top five pick.
Well, I think that'll be clear. The thing with McCown is he's looked pretty good. He had two gorgeous touchdown passes last week to Jermaine Kearse in the loss to Oakland. The guy can still play, but he makes a $125,000 bonus each start. So when you see them at some point, say they're 1-5 or 1-6 or something like that, and they turn to one of the young guys, to me they're clearly tanking there, because if you saw these young guys play in the preseason, you know they're not going to win a lot of games with them. Christian Hackenberg had 9 3-and-outs in the fourth preseason game. Do you know how hard that is to do, Big O? The fourth preseason game against the backups, against the third stringers, playing vanilla defense, and you have 9-3 and outs, that's a very bad sign. And Bryce Petty was a little better, but not much.
Yeah, no, and those two guys have just not shown you anything that you can build on those two guys. Dan Leberfeld, by the way, is joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Jet Whispers. And of course, you got to get the website, which is jetsconfidential.com, and sign up there so you can get the latest on the Jets there. Dan, I mean, I would be extremely disappointed in the Dolphins if they lose this game. I don't think they will. You know, if this was the Cam Cameron era or Sperano or Philbin or something, I would give the Jets, you know, some kind of a chance here because it is a rivalry and all that good stuff that we always – all those cliches that we use. But I think Adam Gase is a pretty damn good coach, and I think he's going to have these guys focused. But – if there was a way that the Jets could win this game, and you're the guy that covers them every day, and you've talked about all the warts that they have right now, how the hell could they win this game?
Well, they've got to improve their pass rush. They're just not getting a lot of hits on the quarterback. So if they have a big game rushing the passer, that would help. Like I said, McCown isn't the big problem. I think he'll have a solid game. That doesn't mean they'll win, but I think he'll do a decent job. The problem for the Jets is, and I mentioned Darren Lee, also two guys in the secondary are really, really struggling. When you talk about Justin Burris, a second-year corner out of North Carolina State, to me is a safety. He's got limited short area quickness, so receivers are cutting away from him very much when you watch them play. And also, he doesn't have great long speed, so if the Miami Dolphins get a speedster on him, they could beat him deep. And Buster Screen, I'm surprised he's still with the team. He's been wildly inconsistent. His first 2 years and his first two games of this season, the inconsistency continues. So if I'm Adam Gase, who's a great offensive mind, you run the ball at Darren Lee consistently, and you pick on Justin Burris, and you pick on Buster Screen. And you know what a good play caller Adam Gase is. He's going to dial up all kinds of plays that exploit these weaknesses, which are clear on tape, they're clear as day. So if the Jets need to make some lineup changes. Actually, the guy behind Darren Lee is better than him, in my opinion, from training camp, Julian Stafford. But you know how that works, Big O, the politics, the PR, not wanting to admit you're wrong, so they roll with first-round picks forever. I don't think Gase is that way. I was always impressed with Gase when he cut two offensive linemen after one game. So Gase isn't that way. Belichick's not that way. But most of the other teams, they'll just keep rolling with first-round picks beyond the point of their effectiveness.
Oh, we had that here. What's it called? Spielman and Ireland would try to justify their picks by playing them and forcing the issue. And the good coaches, man, they don't care who you are, where you come from, where you were drafted, what kind of free agent signing you are. They just want to win. And that's the difference between the good coaches and the guys that try to save their jobs. The good coaches, they're comfortable. So they that was my third-round pick, but this three free agents outperforming them, I need to win games. I'm playing this three free agent. I'm not playing the politics. And that's what happens in this league. And it's happened a lot to us down here in Miami with some of the guys we've had in the past.
That I couldn't agree with you more on that. It drives me crazy covering these teams. Like I said, Julian Stafford was much better this summer than Darren Lee, but I wrote over and over again, it doesn't matter what he's doing. He's not beating out Darren Lee. I know how they roll around here. And in the case of, Buster Screen, I don't know what he's still doing on the team. I think it's probably related to the big cap hit from this year.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, Justin Burris is a guy that should be replaced by Marcus Williams, who has had a number of interceptions in the league. But you know, I asked Todd Bowles about lineup changes on defense the other day, and he said, I have my starters, which is an answer I don't understand because the Patriots benched two players last week, Alan Branch at defensive tackle and one of their cornerbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get it. Like, what do you mean you have your lineup? There's something called lineup changes.
Right, right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, we got the kid Godchild that they got from Clemson. He's a fifth rounder. He's outplayed Jordan Phillips, the second rounder from a couple years ago, and Godchild's getting more playing time. Hey, I got to let you go, but before I do, Muhammad Wilkerson, what's the latest? Because that's a huge loss if they don't have him on the D-line, and that's obviously a plus for Jay Ajayi. He'll be smiling if he's not playing.
Right, and also Leonard Williams has a bad wrist, so he's iffy too. Their two best defensive linemen are iffy. Muhammad Wilkerson said he's going to be fine. I don't know if that was just players speaking in the locker room, but he said it pretty abruptly. It's going to be okay. So I can just go by what he said.
All right. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Jets Whispers. And, of course, you can also check out JetsConfidential.com. Dan Leberfeld, as always, kind enough to join us. Dan, enjoy the game, my friend. You are the best.
Thank you, Big O, and continue loving your classic rock.
Thank you, my man. You know it, as always. We're always rocking on this program. 1 hour down, three more to go, Mon. In this hour, Tom DeAngelo is going to join us at 11:40. Pat Riley addressed the media, had a lot to say. And we'll talk about that in this hour right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.